Thank you very much, Pam. Yep, you're all here. I was just checking to see if you were all here. You're all here. Great. I really appreciate the feedback that I've been getting these last few weeks on some of the messages that we've been bringing about a disciple and what a follower of Jesus Christ is like and the characteristics of a disciple, especially last week, some of the feedback about a disciple being compassionate, and certainly it provoked my thinking in what is my first response when I come upon somebody with a need. And always what we're presented with may not really be the real need, but what's important is what's in my heart towards that person with a handout or towards that person who's asking for some kind of help. What is my first heart's response? And hopefully that's what we've been thinking about. This week, another difficult concept, another difficult proposition for me as I prepared, in that you probably don't know this, but sometimes I'm afraid of what your response might be to what I bring for a message. You didn't know that, right? A disciple is devoted to doctrine. Now, if you just made a decision to go to sleep, please give me just a few minutes. A few minutes, please. It's not that hot, and it's still fairly early. So just ask in your own mind, ask a couple of questions. Okay, what's he talking about? A disciple is devoted to doctrine. You understand that in many churches, in churchianity or Christianity in America, people don't want to hear about doctrine. People don't want to know what the Bible says about. People want fluff. That's a word, right? People want entertainment. People want you to be keep them awake or not. People want you to be humorous. People want you to be communicative, and we want to be. So many people have turned away from, well, you know, we don't need all of this doctrine business. We just need Jesus and love. Well, if we understand both of those properly, it has a lot to do with doctrine. I searched out Psalm 119. If you want to turn over to Psalm 119, please, for just a couple minutes. I searched out Psalm 119 just looking for some key words, which it's loaded with. Psalm 119, almost every verse has some reference to God's word. And I just pulled four verses here that talk about God's word in a certain way, and it won't take long for you to see what it is. Just thinking about a follower of Jesus Christ and what he or she, how that person relates to God's word, the Bible, the book, the law. So in Psalm 119, first we'll look at verse 97. And the psalmist writes here, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Hello. Anybody here meditate on God's word all day long? I didn't. I meditate. I love your law. See how that fits into a disciple is devoted to doctrine? a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, loves God's word. How about you? How about me? The second one, verse that I pulled out there in verse 113, it says, I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. Now, we can wrestle and we can discuss and we can cogitate on what hate means in this context. What's the Hebrew word for hate? I think the writer here is trying to make a contrast between how I feel about, how I think about, how I understand double-minded people and God's law, God's book, the Bible, doctrine. So, would you rather have a double-minded man or would you rather have God's law? Duh, it's a no-brainer, right? We'll take God's law. Then, down towards the end of Psalm 119, verse 163, the psalmist writes, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Similar kind of contrast. Nobody likes a liar. You know, even if it's hard, just tell me the truth. The writer here says, I abhor it. I can't stand lies. Oh, but I love doctrine. I love your law. And then one more, verse 165. It says, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Do you have peace? Do you not have peace? Sometimes I have peace. Sometimes I don't have peace. Is that related to what I think about God's law, about God's teaching, about doctrine? Yes, it is. You'll remember, certainly you'll remember, several weeks ago, we said that a disciple embraces truth. And we asked the question, is there such a thing as truth? Now, we don't need to vote on that, right? We got that down. There is truth and it does matter. There is such a thing as absolute truth. And the person who says, there's no such thing as absolute truth, just made an absolutely true statement in his or her mind. So there is truth, and it does matter. And Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So if we want to debate or argue or discuss what truth is, it's going to be defined and described and found in God's word. So there is truth, and it does matter. Today, there's a great push from certain directions on, well, we don't want to have controversy. We shouldn't have controversy in the body of Christ. If we're all Christians, we're all followers of Jesus Christ, we're all believers, we shouldn't have controversy. Let's vote on that. Because if you say that there is truth, you are in a controversy. In order to proclaim truth, you've got to say that something is not true. If we're going to have sound doctrine, there's going to be unsound or false doctrine. We can't get away from it. So there is truth and it does matter. We need to see it. So let's look out the window. Yeah, yeah. The stars, well, they're still out there, yeah. The sun and the moon and the trees and the grass and the flowers and the bees, yeah. They're all out there. And God made them. Okay, so we need to see that. Then we need to hear it. You know, faith comes by hearing. We need to believe it. We need to say, yep, my way of thinking is wrong, and there is truth, and God's got the market cornered on truth. Okay? And he's willing to share it. He has shared it. He has incarnated it. That means truth came in the flesh, Jesus. So we need to see it. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to study it. That's why we have Awana, right? Study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or do your best, or be diligent, or work hard at it. Okay? So we need to see it. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to study it. And yes, we need to live it. 1 John 1:6 says that if anyone would follow Jesus, he must walk as Jesus did. It goes for the she's as well. And then lastly, we need to proclaim it. We need to share that with other people. And we need to do that in the right way. We need to first set apart Christ as Lord in our heart and always be ready to give an answer for the reason that we, for the hope that we have. And we need to do that with gentleness and respect. So there's God's three-point plan for evangelism. All right, so there is truth. It does matter. A disciple is devoted to doctrine, and we need to bring truth and doctrine into the same discussion, which we'll do in just a second. In his book, The Master's Plan for the Church, one writer has outlined these five elements of a solid, good, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-practicing church. Just zing through these and focus on the one that we want for today. A good church is going to have a high view of God, and you can see how some churches wouldn't have a high view of God, who God is, what he's like, what he said, what's your personal theology in that area. A high view of God, an absolute authority of Scripture. This word of God is our authority for life and practice and doctrine. See, we don't have any, well, we believe in this, we think about that, because we're going to the Bible to find out what it says about this, that, and the other. Okay. High view of God, absolute authority of Scripture, and this one that we're really getting at here is a commitment to sound doctrine. I can assure you, though I didn't ask them this week, that every elder in this church is committed that this church would function according to sound doctrine. And we're going to get into that in just a minute and see what it is and what it says. Okay. A high view of God, the absolute authority of Scripture, a commitment to sound doctrine. Then the fourth element of a good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Bible-preaching church is personal holiness. Perfection? No one here's got that yet. Personal holiness, a growing relationship with God through Jesus Christ where we're living changing lives. Putting off the old, putting on the new. And then the fifth element, according to this one writer, is spiritual authority. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't stand against it. So Jesus Christ is the head of this church. We have eight elders who God has brought together as under-shepherds, okay? All right, but the one we're thinking about this morning is this commitment to sound doctrine. So truth, what is truth? If truth is what God's Word says, doctrine is truth about a particular issue. It's that simple. Truth describes what God's Word is. Doctrine is truth gathered about a certain topic. All right, let's just take marriage for a couple hours. No, for just a moment. Does the Bible say anything about marriage? Well, yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about marriage. The Bible talks about leaving and cleaving. You know, the day that a man and a woman come, two sinners, come to the altar to say, I do, that day a new family is born. And the leaving and cleaving part comes in when they drive out, whether they're on a bus, an airplane, or a boat, or whatever, and they say, bye-bye, Mama, bye-bye, Daddy, you know, bye-bye. This is a new family right here, and they function independently as a family. They have a new head of that household, and it's the daddy. Okay. So the Bible has a lot to say about leaving and cleaving. The Bible has a lot to say about marriage for husbands. The husband is the learner, the lover, and the leader. Okay, that, we can unpack that a little bit. It has a lot to say about the wife in a marriage. The wife submits. The wife respects. The wife is a helper, a completer. Okay. The Bible has a lot to say about communication. That's got something to do with marriage. The Bible has a lot to say about finances, about the physical relationship, about worship, about child raising. All of those things enter into a marriage relationship. There's doctrine in that. Did you know? There's doctrine. It's what the Bible says about that particular issue. The psalmist said, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in my inmost place. See, God wants truth to be brought into our lives. A disciple is devoted to doctrine. Later on in Psalm 111, verse 110, psalmist writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. It's like, hello. This is not only the owner's manual, it's the guidebook, it's our instruction, it's the cookbook for marriage and life and everything that we do. Turn just a moment while we're in Psalms, we can quickly arrive at Proverbs. Just a few pages over to Proverbs chapter 2. This whole idea about a disciple is devoted to doctrine is outlined here in chapter 2 of Proverbs in a really neat and quick way. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, this is talking about doctrine, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. See, there's like six or seven different terms in there that talk about doctrine. It's about teaching. It's about wisdom. It's about understanding. And over in the New Testament in Colossians, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, that's what we need. We need spiritual wisdom. We need understanding. We need doctrine. All right. I'm going to try to boil it down to you in just a few minutes here. So we're going to just spend a little time in about, you know, like this many pages in the New Testament. If you turn over to 1 Timothy, we won't turn more than five or six pages. In 1 Timothy. As you know, Paul writes to Timothy, older man, younger man, discipling him, bringing him along, helping him understand this great need to be devoted to doctrine. A number of times in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, we see this. The only place in the NIV that the word doctrine appears, the only place in the whole NIV translation that the word doctrine appears is in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, seven times, and it's all right here in these few pages. A more common word is teaching as a noun, content. Teaching is throughout God's word. But let's just think about for a few minutes what Paul wrote to Timothy regards to wisdom and sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's first look at this couple of paragraphs here in the first chapter, beginning in verse 3. 1 Timothy 1:3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus. So we got Timothy in Ephesus, and Paul's saying, stay there. And he gives the reason, so that you may command certain men, He was very kind here. He didn't name these certain men. You know, sometimes it's better not to name these people that you're about to slam, if you will, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines. See, so there is such a thing as false doctrine. We need to know sound doctrine any longer. Verse 4, nor to devote themselves to myths. Do you know how many Christians are devoted to myths? You might be one of them. If you don't know what the Bible says, you won't know whether what you believe and what you live out of, what you practice, is a myth or a sound doctrine. That's why we're always at you and after you, encouraging you to know what the Bible says. These were any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love. Love for God, love for your neighbor, which comes from a pure heart, comes from three places, a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. See, there's another word describing false doctrine, meaningless talk, yickety-yack, chit-chat. Verse 7, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are. Talking about. They want to be teachers, but they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Anyone who gets up here or any place else, a Sunday school class, a pulpit or wherever, that wants to be a teacher, if he doesn't have this open, if he's not telling you the doctrine, what God says, meaningless talk. Continuing, verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. And the law, I'm not going to go too far down this little rabbit trail, but the law is a school teacher. The law is given to help us see that we can't keep it. So the person who says, how do you get to heaven? Well, you got to obey the Ten Commandments. You got to keep the law. You got to be good. You got to try to be good enough. How good is good enough? You could act. No. The law is given to show us that no one can keep it. Oh, guess we have to go to plan B. No, plan A is that it would be by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Okay? So we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that law is made not for the righteous but for the lawbreakers and rebels. The ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers, for perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me, Paul. A disciple is devoted to doctrine. Where are we going to go with this? What are you going to do with it? If you say, you know, we're half, two-thirds of the way through this, and you say, okay, I got it. The only one passage in 1 Timothy, and I'm good. I got it. I accept it. I believe it. I receive it. I'm there with you. Okay, so what are you going to do with all this sound doctrine? Are you just, you know, going out there and see how much we can get to eat this afternoon? Or are you just going to go swimming? Or are you just going to, you know, get saving up for your next car? Or you just want to have a good life? You just want to evade suffering? Or you just want to have things go good and smooth? And, you know, what are you going to do with all the sound doctrine if you're buying into it, if you're receiving it, if you're accepting it? Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. He's got a place for every one of us in his church. Teachers, counselors, preachers, all kinds of jobs. And praise the Lord, we saw it demonstrated here, not this last week, but the week before when we had Vacation Bible School. There were, I dare say, as many people involved as there were children who came to Vacation Bible School. All functioning like a well-oiled machine, the Church of Jesus Christ, so that little ones would hear the good news, the message about Jesus. But I want you to be personal about it for a minute. I want you to think, what is my life going to count for regards to sound doctrine? Am I just going to take whatever the preacher says and, yep, that's good enough for me. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to bother searching the scriptures myself every day to see what if he says is true. I'll just take his word for it, and I'll go home and we'll have a picnic or something. Now, don't get me wrong. Picnics are great. Fellowship is wonderful. But a disciple is devoted to sound doctrine, and God is preparing some of you to do something more, something different, something better, something more exciting, something more fulfilling than whatever it is you might have had your hopes set on. Turn a page. For me, it's two pages because I got maps in between here. Chapter 4, verse 11. Now, here's Paul writing to Timothy, verse 11 of chapter 4, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. All right, stop right there. Just because you're a little older than young doesn't mean you don't have to listen to this, all right? But it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So, young people, welcome, young people. Get in, get plugged in here. Young people, what is God doing in your life regards to sound doctrine? God wants to prepare you for his use. You may be in some kind of a pipeline. You may be coming out the other end of a pipeline. You may haven't even got in the pipeline yet, but he wants to use you. And look at these five things here. Be an example in speech. That would be a good thing to watch, you know, each of us for the rest of this next week. Okay, who are you going to talk to? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say?
Oh, I ain't saying nothing about Jesus. Well, no, I don't think so.
Okay, that's between you and Jesus. In speech, in life, that means all the decisions that you make this week about, you know, where to go, what to watch, what to look at, what to listen to, what to read, who to fellowship with, or if there even is fellowship between believers and unbelievers, there isn't, okay. So, well, maybe you'd be on a witness mission. That's okay, too. In speech, in life, in love, okay. Who are you going to demonstrate love to this week? Just start with the closest neighbor, okay, because it always works best at home first, right, okay. You know, it says love your neighbor. He's not talking about run down the road somewhere. Let's start at home. Let's start with the closest relationships that you have. So in speech, in life, in love, in faith. What kind of decisions are you going to make? Is it going to be based on sound doctrine? Is it going to be based upon feelings or mystical thinking or what you like to have or what you like to do? Or will you find something to obey? And not only in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. See, we're going to demonstrate our sound doctrine in the way we live, in purity, purity. All right, moving on. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Boy, there's three more things here. Public reading, preaching, teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophet, through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Paul is just pouring it on here to Timothy. Watch your life and watch your doctrine. Your life flows out of some kind of doctrine. If you make a bad decision, it's because you have bad doctrine. You believe something that's not true. A disciple is devoted to doctrine. Turn a couple pages over, if you would, as we pick up speed here. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So here's Timothy receiving this letter from Paul. Paul's at the just about at the end of his life. This is the last recorded writing that we have of Paul. He's writing to Timothy, and here's what he says, verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience, careful instruction. Reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Okay? But get the word out there. Get that sound doctrine out there. For the time is coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Are we there? Are we there yet? We're not going there. Will you put up with sound doctrine? Will you personally put up with it? Will you receive sound doctrine? Or will you push it away? Will you reject it? He says here, the time is coming when people won't. And instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We need truth. There is truth, and it does matter. But you, he's saying it to Timothy, he's saying it to us as well, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. We believe that the Bible teaches that every believer is a minister. Every Christian has a ministry. Do the work. Understand sound doctrine. Teach it. Live it. Proclaim it. Titus. We'll just do chapter 1 and verse 9 and then one more verse here. Titus 1:9. Here, Paul's writing to Titus in verse 5. He says, I want you to stay there where you are so that you can appoint elders in all the church. And he goes on to describe the qualifications, what an elder should be and what he should be like. Verse 9. He, this potential elder, must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. See, this man needs to be able to teach sound doctrine, but he also needs to be able to deal with those who teach false doctrine. Okay? And then Titus chapter 2. Here, just a little more practical, this last passage, a little more practical in who should receive what for sound doctrine. Verse 1. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Well, here he goes again. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Okay, so here's a teaching assignment to teach older men. And okay, what's older? Well, if you're there, you know it. If you're not, you're probably thinking about it. Older men. Verse 3, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Thirdly, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. A couple of times already we've come across this this idea of doing what is good. I'd encourage you to do a little word study in Titus. I think it's 8 times you see that, what is good. We must teach our people to do what is good. You got to teach these people to do what is good. Just find those 8 things and make a little list there, and that would be a good Bible study. Verse 9, teach slaves or workers to be subject to their bosses or their masters and everything, to try to please them, not to talk back. Then verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. All right, so you get the point. Sound doctrine is found in God's word. He's given it to us. He wants us to use it. He wants us to live by it. He wants his disciples to be devoted to sound doctrine. All right, so how are we going to develop a devotion to sound doctrine? Do you have a desire for wisdom? You see, that's the starting place, that you desire wisdom. Proverbs says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, you have to have a desire for it, and you got to ask for it. Pray for discernment. Pray for wisdom. We all know Solomon, the one thing he asked God, God, I can't lead these people. Please give me wisdom. And then if we're going to develop devotion to sound doctrine, we need to obey the truth. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. We have to have a desire for it, discernment. We have to ask for it. We've got to obey it when we receive it. We've got to follow discerning leaders. Paul said in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Find a godly person that you can emulate. Find a godly person that you can follow and learn from and imitate. If you want to be devoted to doctrine, depend upon the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk on wine. Do you know what somebody looks like when they're drunk on wine? Don't get drunk on wine, but instead be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in every single person who has received Jesus as their Savior. Don't quench him. Don't put a blanket over the wet blanket over the Holy Spirit. Be controlled, be led, be taught, be instructed by the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And we've already mentioned, study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. I dare say we probably study some other things more than we study the Scriptures, whether it be a computer manual or a mechanics, popular mechanics, or cookbooks or whatever you can find. We spend a lot of time studying other things. Sound doctrine is what we need. Keep growing. Keep looking in that mirror of James 1:25. Keep looking in the mirror. And don't forget what you see when you look in the mirror. But continue to look in that mirror and let it change you. Because a disciple is devoted to doctrine. Are you going to be that kind of disciple? Let's commit it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this tip of the iceberg that you've shown us here this morning, just a few minutes in your word. Where would we be without your word? Lord, keep us as a church from ever turning aside from sound doctrine, from what your word says. Lord, help us. Help us individually that we would want more, that we would be more attentive to you, that we would want more of you in our lives so that other people would see more of Jesus and less of us. Lord, may your kingdom come because, in some small part, we clung to sound doctrine individually and as a church. May your name be made famous because these disciples are devoted to doctrine. May it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.